You would open your Bibles to the Psalms, specifically Psalm 119. We're going to continue looking at the 119th Psalm this evening. And just in case some of you are sitting there wondering, when are we going to get it back to Matthew? Once we finish Psalm 119, then we'll get back to Matthew on some Sunday nights. And that one will be Matthew 18, hopefully here in about 2 months, maybe three. Not that long. So we're continuing in our ongoing study through the Psalms. And as we've talked about this with each lesson connected with the 119th Psalm, it was written in a very special pattern where in each section, the sections are divided up into what would equate to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first section, and we kind of introduced some of this at the beginning of it. The first, I think it's 8 verses, is divided up for us. Every line in the Hebrew starts with Aleph right here. And then when you look at the second section, I think it's like verse 9 through 16, every line begins with the next letter, Beit. And so where we are at now brings us down to these three letters here. And we'll be starting in the 97th verse here in a few minutes. But the first section, beginning with verse 97, each line begins with the Hebrew letter Mem. And then the second section, each line begins with the Hebrew letter Nun. And then the third section we'll look at here this evening, Samech, is the Hebrew letter used at the start of each line. So just again, kind of think about that. If you were to write some type of poem or something, and you'd have 8 stanzas per section, and each of the lines had to begin with A. And then the next section, each line had to begin with B. You know, just kind of think about the complexity of doing that. And so, as we continue here this evening, we're going to be looking at starting in verse number 97. And this particular section here, the love of the law of the Lord, is greatly seen on the part of the writer. And as I said, each line, if you were to look at this in Hebrew, we won't bring it up here, we won't have it up here, but each line of the Hebrew would begin with Mem. So let's see what he says here. Beginning there in verse 97, the writer, the psalmist, says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." He writes, "I understand more than the ancients because of your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Now, let's go back there to verse number 97. So he begins here by saying in this section here, "Oh, how I love your law." He said, "This is my meditation all the day." When you look at the writer and his expressions, we see here a great love for the law of the Lord, a great desire to want to know the law of the Lord. And not just a desire to know, but a desire to understand. Now, when we talk about Bible study, we say you need to study your Bible every day. What normally comes to mind is this collection of 66 books. And so that gives us a lot of study through. You think about it. You know, if you have what might be considered lighter reading, maybe. Paul would maybe use the word, or Peter, milk of the word. But then you've got much more complex passages. And so we have a lot to pick from. But when the writer wrote this, he's focusing on the law of God that God gave his people on Mount Sinai. He's talking about the law of the Lord. At this time, they didn't have the 66 books. They didn't have the 39 books fully written yet. At this point in time, you would have had the first 5 books. You probably would have already had at least 2 at his access there, the book of Joshua, the compilation of the book of Judges, possibly 1 and 2 Samuel. And depending on how late the author wrote this, if it was David, it would have ended there at 1 and 2 Samuel, would have been the collection, because the rest of it had not happened yet. If it was a little bit later on, let's say if you want to throw it all the way into the Babylonian captivity, then they would have had the collection of maybe the 1 and 2 Kings. But this was written far earlier than that. So when he talks about, oh, how I love your law, if you really want to know what he's talking about, go read through Leviticus. That gives you an idea, okay? And part of the responsibility of the king of Israel, they were supposed to write the law, to come to know the law. And it wasn't a drudge upon the heart of the writer here. He loved the law of the Lord. He loved everything that the Lord had said. And he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The book of Psalms kind of begins with the same sentiment. Real quick, let's turn back over to Psalm chapter 1, there in verse 2. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. We'll see something very similar here to this. The psalmist says, but his delight, talking about blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Psalm chapter 1, now verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That's what he's saying there. Blessed is the man who meditates upon the law of the Lord day and night. So when we stop and consider something of this magnitude, we need to use it as a great example of encouragement within our own lives to have the same love for the law of the Lord. Notice what he acknowledges there in verse 98. He says, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Now I have a question I couldn't find an answer to with this one. When he says, for they are ever with me, is he talking about talking about his enemies who are always around him? Or the they talking about the commandments of the Lord? All right, could go either way. I kind of like to defer the other side, where he's talking about for they are ever with me, the commands of the Lord. But even if it is the other way, where his enemies are always with him, that's why you need the law of the Lord. Because it makes you wiser than the enemies of the Lord. Because it gives you what you need to be able to properly serve the Lord. It gives you, as he says in verse 99, more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Whenever you take the time to read your Bible every day, you need to take time to meditate, to think about upon what you've read. Not simply, let's mark off 10 verses and go to bed. Let's mark off 2 chapters and then we're done for the day. Spend time considering and contemplating. Spend time in meditation about the testimonies of the Lord. You know, here he's talking about, all these words are relating to the law of Christ, where they're talking about statutes, we're talking about testimonies, we're talking about commandments. They're all talking essentially about the same thing, the Word of God. But for us today, what testimonies could we meditate upon? Testimony of the apostles about Jesus Christ. The testimonies of Jesus himself when he testified of himself. The testimony of the faithful as we have written within the New Testament. All of these things we need to spend time in. I understand more than the ancients or aged, some translations will have, because I keep your precepts. Now, something else, I need to go a little faster with this or else we'll only get one section done. But I want you to notice another interesting point here. He says, I understand more than your ancients. Why? You know, I've known people who've had decent Bible knowledge. When I mean decent Bible knowledge, it's pretty impressive. But there's no application. They don't live it. They've been taught it. They have learned it. But it meant nothing to them because it did not turn into application. Here the writer says, because I keep your precepts. If we're truly going to understand the law of the Lord, if we're going to understand his word, we must keep his word. Put it into practice. Put it into application. We talked some about that this morning. Loving the Lord, obeying his word, keeping his commands, how we walk in fellowship with him. He says in verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Now, something else you might, two different ways of looking at this. He says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Why? So that I may keep your word. When we hold back ourselves from walking in the way of the evil, then we have the room there, the wherewithal to be able to serve the Lord. But look at it from the other direction. By keeping the word of the Lord, it causes us to restrain our feet. It causes us to keep ourselves from every evil way. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 19, verse 10, you kind of see that again there, where he talks about sweeter than the honeycomb. This is a beautiful sentiment on the part of the author here of how he viewed the word of the Lord and how he needed it within his life. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. That kind of ties back in a little bit when talking about the evil and the wicked and how he's restrained his feet from every evil way. He says, through your precepts I get understanding. And what does that understanding result in? I hate every false way. We keep our feet from evil. We hate every way that is false. When we abide by, when we understand, when we live the word of God within our life. But let's look at the next section there. The next letter is Nun, of the Hebrew alphabet. This section here, we're going to look at the law of the Lord being a lamp to our feet. You know, Peter does tell us that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we still live in a dark world, okay? We still live in a world that is filled with darkness. And so we have to have guidance in the world that we live in. The author here, he saw the word of the Lord as a lamp unto his feet. He says in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. He says, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. He says, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare before me, yet have not strayed. I have not yet strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Verse 104 or 105 is a very powerful passage. Why did he desire to know the word of the Lord? Why did he desire to meditate upon the law? Because he saw it as a lamp, as he says here, to my feet and a light to my path. When we think about Hebrews chapter 5, when we think about verses 12 through 14, and we think about the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this idea of studying the word of the Lord, learning to know the will of God, it helps to equip us to be able to rightly discern between right and wrong. It helps us to be able to recognize what is evil and what is good, what is according to the will of God and what is not. And the author here points towards that when he talks about the word being a lamp and a light to his path. And he says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. Now, this might be kind of a similar reference to what the people of Israel did during the days of Nehemiah. Let's take a brief detour there to Nehemiah chapter 10. In Nehemiah chapter 10, they make a covenant before the Lord to serve him, to abide by his will. And notice here in Nehemiah chapter 10, let's note just real quick, the section is longer than just one verse, but we'll just going to look at verse 29. The covenant here, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his ordinances and his statutes. So they made a covenant with the Lord to abide by his word. Deuteronomy chapter 29, there in verse 12, we see Moses doing this with the children of Israel, the second generation before he died. But in that covenant, there is both blessings and cursings. Blessings would be what would happen when they would properly serve the Lord. Cursings would be that which would be that would fall upon them when they disobeyed the Lord. So we come back to here, and the author says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. What an oath within our own selves to make before, I won't say before the Lord. When we become a child of God, we make that decision to abide by his word, to keep his righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. He says, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. The idea of the freewill offering of his mouth, we see a similar reference to this over in Hosea chapter 14, verse 12. It is an offering made from the lips, from, if you would, the fruit of the lips of one who is in service unto the Lord and one who is offering these verbal sacrifices and praises to the Lord. Notice with me in Hosea. We're going to go to chapter 14. Now here's what you do. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. So if you're looking at Obadiah, you go that way. Okay. And that's what I just had to do. Obadiah, Amos, Joel, Hosea. There we go. So look at Hosea chapter 14 there in verse 12. All right, ignore Hosea 14 verse 12. I don't know what I wrote down, why I wrote that down. I do know why I wrote it down. Tell you what, let's go to cheat. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. I'll tell you why I'm cheating now. Because in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, I wasn't going to go to this reference, just kind of something you could write down. But the writer here quotes from the passage that I'm referencing here. When he says there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. Notice that the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2 is where I was supposed to have gone to, not verse 12. So the point is this attitude, not this attitude, but this action of expressing from our hearts through the lips, through our words, praise and adoration of God. He says, I accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. It wasn't simply about motions. It was something that came from the heart out of praise and worship to God. Help me, I pray. He says, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth and teach me your judgments. Then he goes on to say, my life is continually in my hand. The New King James Version says, some render in danger. You may have a little footnote in your Bible that says literally in danger. The idea there, my life is continually in danger. It is continually in your hand, yet, in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Sometimes difficulties cause people to become distracted from their service unto God. But here the author would not allow that to happen. Although there would be difficulties and challenges, and even his life would be in danger, if you would. His life would be in his own hand. He says, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Again, it comes back to this idea of your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. No matter what difficulties we face, no matter what enemies we may encounter, no matter what snares have been established there, he says, I have not strayed from your precepts. The word snare, does that kind of sound familiar? The New Testament, the writers warn us about the snares of the devil. Okay, we are aware. We are not ignorant of his devices that he used. But what we understand is that even we face temptations and trials, snares and traps, whatever you want to use there, as long as we abide by the will of the Lord, we will not stray. We will be like the author here. Yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. He treasured the testimonies of the Lord, took them as a heritage forever. And I think that's a good investment. Remember what Peter says? The word of the Lord endures forever. Especially when we talk about there in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 1 Peter. Let's turn over there to 1 Peter. Sorry, the recall is not functioning quite the way it should. 1 Peter 1, right at the very end of it. He says, since you have purified your souls, this is verse 22, and obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Notice that. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass wither and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. David, the writer, the author here, saw the testimonies as a heritage to embrace forever. The word of the Lord would and does endure forever, and we should cherish it all the same way. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Incline, shape, direct our hearts to performing the statutes of the Lord. Same thing applies to us. Same attitude will lead us safely through obedience to the word of the Lord, through studying his word and abiding by it. All right, now the last section we're going to consider in this sermon. Verses 113 through 120, Samech is the Hebrew letter that begins each line within this section. And we see the law of the Lord is a hiding place, a place of refuge, a place of comfort, a place of hope. So the author says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Look at the contrast there. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. And then he says, I hope in your word. Psalm 32, verse 7, similar sentiment to that. So when we talk about our faith in God and we are putting our trust in God, please understand that we, like the author here, put our faith and trust in the word of God also. So much so that the author here held tightly within his heart, with his mind, that the word of the Lord provided him hope. You are my hiding place. You are my shield. I hope in your word. This is what drives us on. This is what keeps us going, is the word of the Lord and our faith both in God and within the very word that he's given to us to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. Then verse 115 says, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. We come back to that again. No matter what our enemies do to us, no matter what obstacles we encounter, in this case in point, evildoers, we will still declare that we, like the writer here, will keep the commandments of my God. It's got to be determination. It's got to be a drive. It's got to be a will to do the will of God within our lives. Then 116, he says, uphold me according to your word that I may live. Now notice that uphold me according to your word. It wasn't the own selfish desires of the writer here. It wasn't what he felt things should be. He was acknowledging that the upholding the Lord would do would be according to God's word, to the word of the Father. It's not what we want, but it's what the Lord desires for us within his word. You know, we could bring in again the reference to Jesus when he is praying in the garden, a simple case in point. But he says, not my will, but your will be done. Now, if the author of this is David, there were many times that David did not take this path that he should have taken. But as David got older, he learned the lessons of his life. And he understood the need for that resolve to stand firm, to stand strong, to be able to say, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. We don't believe that God will let us down. The author here in this statement is conveying his trust in the Lord, in his word, to uphold him according to his word, and that he, the writer here, would never be ashamed of the hope that he puts in God. Just like we're never ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We are not ashamed to own my Lord, is a song that we sing. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, because we believe his word and we trust in him. 117, hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. And that's kind of how everything works. We rely upon the Lord, we trust in the Lord, We observe his statutes continually. We abide by them. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross or slag or refuse, some footnotes may have. He says, therefore, I love your testimonies. Again, the idea of testimony, the idea of statutes, the idea of commands. He recognizes the judgment of the Lord to wipe clean the wicked of the earth, to remove it, if you would. And he says, therefore, I love your testimonies. And then he closes there in this section, my flesh trembles for fear. Or some translations use the word awe here. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Now, how do we factor that into what he's just said? Well, look at the preceding line. Here's the power of God to put away all the wicked of the earth like refuse, to make it cease. And we, you know, when we stop and we think about the love of God, we think about the grace of God, we think about the mercy of God, and we are thankful for those things, but please understand that the same Lord, the same God that created the heavens and the earth out of nothingness will one day bring it all to an end. And so when we stand, and I think awe is a good word, but let us not diminish the significant and the significance and the magnitude of the statement here, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. Some people would try to argue, well, you're not supposed to serve the Lord out of fear. He created the heavens and the earth. He is mighty. He is just. But we also serve the Lord out of love. We also serve the Lord because he sent Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, there's an aspect of the greatness of God so great that even the author says, with all his confidence and comfort and strength that he puts within the Lord, he still says that my flesh trembles for fear. And then he says that, and I am afraid of your judgments. The question for us today is real simple. What would be our takeaway from this? Well, let's try to walk in his footsteps. Let's go within our hearts. Let's get into our hearts and our minds and make certain that we have the same desire there to know the will of the Lord, the same desire to spend time studying his word. There's so much more now. As I said earlier on, the writer here would have been limited to primarily the first five books, the law that God had given Moses. But now we know the beginning of the story as well as the end of the story. We understand what Adam and Eve did. We know what they did, and we now fully understand what it brought into the world, and we now understand what God did so that we could be saved, and we also know what's going to happen at the end. We have the full Word of God revealed to us in its completeness, in its entirety, and anything not covered by his Word, we don't need to know. One day all things will be answered. We have so much to study, and there are so many wonderful stories there of what God has done for us. And so let's have the heart of the author here and make sure that we meditate upon the word of the Lord, that we love the law of the Lord, that we let his word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And let us pray to the Lord, hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. Let us learn from his faith and his service and his trust in the Lord, but also keep the reverence that we see in verse 20. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Let us, with all seriousness and sober-mindedness, follow the word of the Lord. Well, that brings us up to 120. I think we've got 150-some-odd verses left. Not left, sorry. About 30 or 40 left. So we might be able to do that in the next lesson. But if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you to begin studying the word of God. I don't expect anyone who's never read the Bible to right off the bat have an enthusiasm for it. But if you'll let us sit down and study with you, if you'll start studying the Word of the Lord, that love can, and I believe will grow, if you spend the time in the Word. And if you'll do that, you will learn that sin has separated you from God. And you'll learn what God has done so that you might be saved. And you will learn what you need to do, that gospel call, so that you can be saved, your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. You will read the statement of Peter on the day of Pentecost. When they ask the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? He tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You can have the same faith of the author who we read tonight, and that same faith will lead you to full obedience to the gospel's call into salvation. You need to do that. Don't put it off any longer. If you are a Christian, you've not been living faithfully. Let's come back to a love for the Word of God, a meditation upon His Word. Resume allowing it to be a light in your life. If you accept to the gospel's call and invitation, would you come forward as we stand and as we sing?